The Pat Kenny Show
with Timber Living Log Cabins.
Saturday and Sunday from 10 a.m. on News Talk. Conversation that counts.
Here we are. You got me into your house. You give me a drink. You put on music. Now you start opening up your personal life to me and tell me your husband won't be home for hours.
So?
Mrs. Robinson, you're trying to seduce me. Aren't you?
Now, that's a key scene from the 1967 movie, The Graduate. It's now a staple of afternoon television that you might watch with your children. But it wasn't that long ago that Irish moviegoers were subjected to a butchered version of the film, intended to leave audience completely unaware of the relationship between Benjamin and Mrs. Robinson. Joining me now is John Kelleher, Ireland's last film censor, to tell us about his new documentary, which chronicles the history of film censorship in Ireland. It's called In the Opinion of the Censor. It airs on RT1 at 9:35 on Monday. John, good morning and welcome.
Good morning, Pat.
I know you're away on holiday. I hope you're away from the fires, at least, in France.
Not too far away, but far enough to be safe, thank goodness. Though I believe there's a storm just about to burst.
Which would be good news for all of those trying to fight the fires. Anyway, we don't want to talk about this morning's bad news on fires. We want to talk about the history of censorship in Ireland. When did it all begin?
Well, it began effectively in 1923, and the Censorship of Films Act of 1923 was one of the very, very first to be put through the new legislature, the Oireachtas, which showed how much they had a concern about the dangers of cinema. It actually was passed a week after the Finance Act of that year.
Now, where did the impetus for this come from, John? Who was pushing to have censorship of not just movies, but of books as well?
Well, I think it was a general kind of feeling then. I don't think there was anything in the nature of serious opposition to it. The founding fathers, if you like, were moral guardians, and they saw their roles as looking after the children of the nation. You know, and adults, of course, and children were all treated the same. There was no difference made in those days. And the early years reflect just how seriously they saw the threat of cinema and what they did about what the early film censors did about it. Some of it quite extraordinary.
And you chronicle those in the documentary, which is very interesting and hugely entertaining, I have to say. The key words in the Act of 1923 are "in the opinion of the censor," which is where you get the title of your documentary, that if that censor views that stuff is indecent, obscene, blasphemous, or contrary to public morality, he can chop away.
That's right. That's absolutely right. And the phrase, the term, the words "in the opinion of the censor" are crucial there, because that allowed whoever held the office, which was an independent statutory post, not that independent of the Catholic Church, actually, you'd have to say, in the first four or five decades of the office. But that allowed whoever was the censor at the time to reflect their sort of prevailing ethos, prevailing opinion as regards, if you like, morality.
Now, the first film censor was a man called James Montgomery. I'm not sure what expertise he had in cinema, if any.
He had none. He was an executive in the Dublin Gas Company, and it was interesting. He was a witty chap. I mean, he was a highly intelligent man, and he certainly wasn't slow to kind of set out his stall. "I take the Ten Commandments as my code," he said. And he saw one of the greatest dangers as not the, as he put it, the anglicization of Ireland, but the Los Angelization. And he set out to take steps to stop that becoming a thing.
How many films did he ban? How many films did he cut?
I'm not quite sure how many he cut, but he banned 1,700. 1,700 during his, I think it was 18 or 19 years in the post.
Now, I have a quote here from your documentary from Anne Harris, talking about why they would want to limit the impact of certain kinds of film. This is the power of film.
Film is one of the greatest starting points for a shift in societal attitudes. Film and film about other countries which have live a different way of life, that is how you bring about change. It might be slow, but film has a huge power to make important changes. So if we didn't want those changes, it was imperative that they had a very strong censorship.
So even though we were talking about the early days of cinema, Kevin O'Higgins, who signed the act into law, and those, you know, pushing for censorship, they understood how powerful cinema could be.
Oh, yes. These were intelligent people. They absolutely understood that. And cinema was regarded as a very, very influential medium, if you like, at the time. So they were very keen to make sure that there was nothing untoward appearing on screens. There was still a very paternalistic attitude, though. And, of course, all of the nine censors have been men.
It's interesting. You quote from a Father Paul OCM of the Dublin Vigilance Committee of 1915. And this is it tells us everything, I suppose, about the mood. Pernicious literature is a poison which corrupts the heart and undermines virtue. But its dreadful havoc is outdistanced by the pernicious effects of the filthy picture screen.
I think that sums it up fairly clearly. He doesn't. He's not sort of on the fence about it, is he? And that was a pretty widespread attitude among authority figures at the time. Mm. I mean, things changed. And one of the things I find fascinating about this area is that, and I'm really glad to have been a part, had a part to play, if you like, in it, is that what you saw or didn't see on the screen actually reflected the sort of social and cultural history of our country as the years went by. That was a really interesting aspect of screen censorship.
The censor at the time of Casablanca, a man called Richard Hayes, he cut that movie, which everyone regards now as a classic in every frame from start to finish.
Totally. My all-time favourite movie, Casablanca. It was first banned, by the way, but that was for a different reason. It was banned under the Emergency Powers legislation because it was deemed to contravene our neutrality during the Second World War. After the war, as you say, Hayes passed it, but he passed it with cuts. And the cuts literally suppressed any reference to the relationship, the Paris romance between the Ingrid Bergman character, Ilsa, and the Humphrey Bogart character, Rick. Ilsa had believed herself to be a widow. In fact, she wasn't a widow because her husband, a freedom fighter, who she had thought had been murdered by the Nazis, actually it was alive and, in fact, it played a big part in Casablanca. But at the time, she believed that she had the relationship. She believed herself to be a widow. But in the eyes of the film censor, Richard Hayes, she was still a married woman, and therefore that had to come out. Mm. So the Irish audience never had Paris.
Now, he also had the power to rename a movie called I Want a Divorce. He renamed as The Tragedy of Divorce. Misbehaving Husbands was released as Henry Goes Haywire. I mean, you couldn't make it up. Now, I had a small part to play in all of this myself. Maybe you'd fill in the background to a Late Late Show.
One person that does have the courage of his convictions in our audience, Brendan Shortall. You don't like what John Keller is doing.
Well, let's put it this way. I don't like Nine Songs.
Have you seen it?
I haven't seen it, but I
have. You have not?
I have a report from a lady who has seen it. Okay. First we have, well, I don't know which was first, but we have both of them performing oral sex on each other. Then we see ejaculation. Then we see full penetrative sexual intercourse. We closely see close-ups of a man's penis driving in and out of a woman's vagina.
You may be in danger of advertising this film, Brendan, if you're not careful.
So, John, the background of that particular.
I'm still chuckling. I can remember that so well. That's almost 20 years ago. And the background to it was that this movie, Nine Songs, was the most sexually explicit film ever to be certified. And that created quite a row at the time. There were thousands of letters, all the same letter, all photocopied or whatever, and sent to members of the Oireachtas, all by people like your guest on the show with me that night, who you accused of promoting the film. They hadn't seen it. None of them had seen it.
Now, John, when you became a censor, you followed on in the footsteps of Seamus Smith. You took a different attitude to film, and I think Seamus agreed with you that the work of a director, he or she, belongs to the director and no one really should be cutting. Now, did you still allow for complete banning? Like, if you couldn't certify it, say if it was hardcore porn, what would happen to that?
Well, interestingly enough, I mean, generally speaking, things weren't submitted that were completely unlikely to be passed, like really, really hardcore porn, which would have been video, not for cinema anyway. But generally speaking, the age of banning had long and cutting had long passed, and it's 20 or 30 years since anything has been banned, or certainly any cinema film has been banned in Ireland. And I totally agreed, as you say, with Seamus that film is the director's work, and it's the director who's entitled to cut it.
So you decided that in future, going forward, once you became the so-called film censor, that instead of censoring, which is your title, you became a classifier.
Yeah, I mean, it was obvious enough to me, and I think to many people, that in a mature society, it should be left to adults to decide what it is that they want to watch or see, and there shouldn't be somebody telling them what they can't or see or only partly see. So censorship gave way, if you like, to classification, and that became age-related certification, essentially for parents, as a kind of a consumer guidance for parents, so that they could know what kind of age was appropriate or suitable for their children. And websites were set up and focus groups were done. And we, generally speaking, were able to move the office from the old cutting and banning concepts to one of classification and consumer guidance.
Do we know, John, what directors thought of what the Irish film censors did over the years to their work?
Well, I know in the film, it's a very interesting part of it, that Ciarán Carty, the veteran campaigner for movie freedom, if you like, that he made it his business to seek out films that were being cut by the censor, which the Irish audience wasn't necessarily aware of. And he had a lot of communication with these directors, including, you know, very well-known directors like John Schlesinger or Antonioni. And his campaigning in the Sunday Independent really helped to change attitudes. The distributors were also played a key role, because they obviously had a vested interest in the films being seen.
Well, John, it's a very entertaining documentary. It airs on RT1 at 9:35 on this coming Monday. It's called In the Name of the Censor. And our last film censor, Director of Classification, John Keller, thank you very much for joining us on the programme.
The Pat Kenny Show on News Talk
with Timber Living Log Cabins.